Through Thick and Thin is a 12-month journey to discover your truest identity and calling in the Lord. Designed by and for young Vietnamese Catholics, this podcast welcomes special guests to discuss the intersection of faith, life, and culture. Now, here's your host, Vivian Nguyen.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Through Thick and Thin podcast. I'm your host, Vivian Nguyen, and I'm so happy you're here. The mission of this podcast is to help you discover your truest identity and purpose, and I pray that as you tune into this podcast, you feel safe and loved just from where you are at. I'm so excited for today's episode and extremely hyped for you guys to meet our guest today on episode 9. We only have 3 more episodes before we close the chapter of this podcast, and I just pray that we are all being intentional about discovering our identity and purpose in God on this journey together. I hope you know that you are not alone. Just a little recap. In the last episode, Sister Maria Kim Ngan Bui and I talked about fighting for our faith even when it's hard and why we should let go of the things we can't keep to gain so much more. There's really nothing in this world that is more valuable than our personal relationship with God. And in today's episode, as we enter the month of May, when we honor mothers, we have someone special to help us in our personal relationship with God. And that is Mother Mary. She's often put to the side in our faith because we don't understand the very important role that she plays in our relationship with Jesus. So today we will unravel what the essence of Catholicism is and how Mother Mary aids us in fulfilling the purpose of our faith, of our identity. And I know that that may feel a bit loaded, but take heart, we have a spectacular guest who will help us understand this important subject in a much more coherent fashion. So let me welcome you, Father Yu Nguyen, the Vocations Director for the Diocese of Tulsa in Oklahoma, and in my opinion, a social media star. Father Yu, it is such a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vivian. I'm just so happy, and what a beautiful introduction. I feel flattered. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But I'm just really grateful for the invitation and that, you know, just an opportunity just to speak with you and so on. So all your audience, it's great. It's great just to be with you. So thank you for having me.
Likewise, thank you so much for being on here. Before we start, can you just tell us more about yourself for our audience, just to know more about you?
Yeah, wonderful. I'm just a simple priest of the Diocese of Tulsa. I am now the vocation director for the diocese and just kind of like working with discerners, working with, you know, seminarians. And also I have the privilege of visiting Portland, Oregon in March.
Yeah, I
just
heard.
Just doing a little retreat. So, you know, like I try to help out, you know, if I can, whenever, in terms of like just retreats and things like that. In particular, you know, for the Vietnamese youth.
Right.
I think we have such a unique setup, if you will, right? So we live in America, but I'm proud to be a Vietnamese American, and that, you know, I'm just wants to, and I think there's just so many of us. I think sometimes living here in the United States, but, you know, we're Vietnamese or even different backgrounds, right? And that sometimes it can be a challenge, in particular for Vietnamese, to the way that we live our faith in the United States.
Yeah.
And so our parents, the way that they live their faith,
right?
You know, in Vietnam, and then sometimes there's a difference. You know, mm-hmm. And so that's why I just love doing it whenever I can, just travel around and helping with that, you know, just break the gaps, if you will. So
how did you feel after leading the confirmation retreat in March?
Yeah, you know, I always love that. Just a little bit background on me. Before I was the vocation director for the diocese, before I became the vocation director, I used to be at Bishop Kelly High School, the only diocesan high school in the Diocese of Tulsa. So diocesan Catholic high school, right? So, and every single day I get to see about 200 to 300 students daily. I love my assignments as a chaplain at Bishop Kelly.
Wow.
Because I get to be with my parishioners daily, all at one place. And so I love being with people. And so when I became the vocation director for the diocese, so I work in the office, you know, talking on the phone with a lot of people, but then I don't see 200 or 300 students. I get sad, you know, like I love to see people. If I'm lucky, I get to see maybe 5 to 10 people a day versus 2 to 300 people a week.
That's a big
difference. So whenever I go on retreats, I always, always love being with them. But I always feel so inspired after a retreat, leading a retreat. Mm-hmm. You know, I get so much out than I think the participants, you know, the retreatants. And so I should always enjoy that. So, yeah.
Well, the Bible says it, the more you give, the more you receive.
Well, I guess, you know, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we do what we can. Yeah. We do what we can.
Well, thank you. Thank you for what you do. As I was on a search, kind of, you know, just kind of searching on who you are, and I was going through your social media handle, and I came across this reel where you show that you were at the Catholic University of America. Did you study there for the summer?
Yeah, so for the past 4 summers, I've been studying canon law at the Catholic University of America.
And you're still there now? Are you still studying?
No, I should finish. I should finish my degree last summer. And so I should finish. And so now I'm back at the diocese, in the Diocese of Tulsa.
So. Oh, okay. Because I saw the Basilica and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Because I'm going to be studying at the Catholic University of America.
Oh, really?
This upcoming fall. Yeah.
Wonderful. What are you studying?
I'm studying pre-law, political studies. And then minoring in economics, and then hopefully get a law degree.
Wonderful. It's a good school. I really like the campus.
Yeah. The Basilica is amazing. When you step in, it's like, it just changes you.
Sure. Yeah. I think it is one of the biggest basilica. I think it's the biggest basilica in America.
I think so too.
I think. And so if you think that is big, right? So that's just, I love Rome so much. I wanted to go back to Rome. But if you think that the Basilica in Washington, D.C. is big, goes to St. Peter Basilica in Rome. Oh, my gosh. It's humongous. And you feel so little.
Oh, but yeah.
It's just so beautiful.
It's humbling.
It's just so beautiful whenever you go there, you know, whenever you go there. And you just feel like you're just so insignificant, but you're a part of something. It's so big.
That's a good
Catholicism, universality of the church, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm going back there this coming September. You can come with me if you want to. I am leading a pilgrimage.
Okay, that's awesome. I wish you all the best for that trip.
Thank you.
So as a vocations director, I'm assuming you travel a lot.
Yeah, a little bit. In fact, right now I'm not in my TOSA office. I just left my TOSA office to go to Stillwater, which is about an hour and a half away. And so it just literally took walked in into the room, and then so I opened my computer and then here we are. So yes, I travel a little bit.
Okay. So. Well, the reason why I asked that is because I want to start off our conversation with just a little icebreaker, a would you rather question. This is a question I ask every single one of my guests. So are you ready for yours?
I guess. You know, can I say no?
Not really. Would you rather get free plane tickets or free accommodations for the rest of your life?
I think a free plane ticket would do it.
Free plane ticket?
Because I know, this is the reason why. So the reason why, if you have a free plane ticket, then you can go anywhere and then you're going to make friends.
Oh.
And so you, in some sense, you can, you know, find reasonable or affordable accommodation.
Yeah. And also more interactions.
I guess so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I love that.
That's a good one.
Yep.
Okay, so to kick off this conversation, I want us to unravel this topic with the word identity placed at the center of our discussion. Because first, that's the mission of this podcast, but most importantly, because everyone at some point in their lives have asked these questions. Who am I? What am I doing here? And who do I want to become? And perhaps they're struggling with those questions at this exact moment. And for me, I find my identity in Christ because I know that I was made to be in a relationship with God. I was made for God, I was made to reflect Him, and I was made to be in communion with Him. I was made for something unconditional and everlasting. But unfortunately, that's not what the world preaches. The world preaches us to place our identity in external attractions, the things that leave us with nothing but despair. And that's why I want us to understand what the true essence of Catholicism is. What is the goal of being a follower of Christ, and how does Mary help us with our goal? because it's only when we understand the crux of Catholicism that then we begin to know our true identity.
Mm-hmm.
But before we dive straight into those questions, let's preface this discussion with your personal story. I'm going to ask you a series of questions separately. First, what was your faith journey like as a teen? And did you struggle with any identity issues, if you don't mind sharing?
Thank you. So, you know, I came to the United States when I was, I was 16. So I came to when I was 16. And so, you know, like living in Vietnam, you know, like you just do the same thing. You go to mass early in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just got like living the faith, you know, your parents. So I was born in, you know, I was born as a cradle Catholic.
Yeah.
So I was born in a Catholic family. So I would say that, you know, we were very devout Catholic family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would go to church often with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that it was easy in a sense of like, I had to do whatever my parents was doing, in mm-hmm. particular, my dad was doing, but we not necessarily that understand the faith, you know, have a value of like, why do I need to practice the faith? I didn't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it because my parents made me to do so. In some sense, you know, I'm creating those good habits without knowing that these things, these habits will help me in the future. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so that exactly,
absolutely.
So that you know, I would consider myself that, you know, yeah, I was devout, but do I have the depth of Catholicism? No.
Mm.
I did what my parents wanted me to do.
Mm.
And so that's exactly what I did.
And I think a lot of people are in the same exact situation as you were in at this point.
Yeah. And I think that's a simple, you know, I think we can to go autopilot, right? And then not really asking the question, deeper questions. Why am I doing these things, you know? And then seek real answers to that, I would say, is very important. Know someone, trust someone, and know someone who know the answers to these questions can be very helpful, because we all going to have questions. And I love it. You know, this is the reason why, you know, I do retreats and I allow them to ask questions. Why? Because if they're asking questions, that means they're thinking about it. They're curious. They're interested in this. And so we want to give them the truth, the real answers,
mm-hmm.
right? Not just something that watered down because they want the truth.
Right.
And we want to the truth will set us free. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And so.
Do you remember as a young teen how you viewed Catholicism? How did you view the Catholic Church? Did you question it?
You know, I didn't really question the Catholic faith so much because in my town, there was no other churches.
Mm.
It's not only the Catholic Church. We grew up in a Catholic Church, and there's only the Catholic Church in my little town that I live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know anything else besides Catholicism. Do I know the depth of it? No, I didn't. But I dare to question the faith? I didn't have the courage to do that because we didn't know anything else. You know, we didn't have all those churches, you know, like Christian churches, you know, for us to compare us to. And so I would say that we live in a bubble. We live in a bubble. But in a sense, it was good because it really strengthened me. I see the value of it. Like now I feel really strong, you know, because of the foundation. Do I know everything? No, I don't know everything, but I know the basic of the Catholic faith. Mm. So.
And do you remember when you began to truly develop this personal relationship with Mary? When did you encounter her?
I would say that, you know, it's always there. It's always, you know, even when I was in Vietnam, you know, we talk about it, you know, like we talk about, you know, we pray the rosary all the time. I remember I was in the altar server group and there was one night of the week that we have to take charge of like leading the prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, like for the community in the, you know, in the Marian shrine, if you will, right? And so it's an outside and we should go and do it. We pray the rosary. And so we should pray the rosary, but did I have the relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary? I didn't have it until when I was in the seminary. You know, when I was in the seminary, we should always pray the rosary, right? And then we said, kind of like, okay, why are we praying the rosary? It's kind of like when you're really asking the question, like, why is it that you pray the rosary? Why do you ask the Blessed Virgin Mary? You know, why do we do these kind of things? And so that's when I should really look into it and trying to understand. And then maybe I have the philosophical background to understand more of, you know, like the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the church. And that's when I really dwell into to kind of like studying, researching, to trying to understand her role. And that's when I become like, wow, that's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if we really want to get to know Jesus, we need to know Mary.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Blessed Virgin Mary is the one who knows Jesus the longest. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the one who knows Jesus the longest as a human person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was the first one to know that, like, I'm pregnant with the second person of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knows her son very much.
Yeah.
And so if you want to know her son, come to the mother.
Yeah.
Come to know the mother, you know. I think it's both and, right? You know, it showed the respect that you have for Jesus,
mm-hmm,
when you respect the parents. And so that's when I should feel like, you know what, I want to develop a relationship with her.
Right.
I want to grow deeper in relationship with her.
And with that served as context, what would you say is the very essence of Catholicism, and what role does Mother Mary play in that?
Absolutely. So Catholicism is not for the righteous people. And in other words, who are the righteous?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. You know, human mm-hmm. being, with none of us
yeah.
is perfect,
mm-hmm.
right? None of us is perfect. And therefore, you know, you can just flip the coin to say that Catholicism is for everyone. It's for everyone. And so the essence of Catholicism is, you know, like it is for sinners like me, like you. So every single time, I'm just so grateful for this, right? The sacraments, you know, that makes us Catholic, because of the sacraments, right? So we have the sacraments, and that because Catholicism are for sinners, that whenever we fall, whenever we just kind of stumble on something, when we fail, when we didn't really want to get back up on our feet, we have been given so many graces just to stand back up again and walk to Jesus. The sacraments, the saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, like all of that are, you know, just kind of like graces to equip us to be able to be back on our feet, so that we can walk to Jesus, you know? And that's exactly what it is for Catholicism. Catholicism for sinners, like you, like me, so that we can come to Jesus. So it reminds me of a story that, you know, it happens to me, and I share this story all the time. You can even see it on my social media, FatherZui_918. You know, you can see this very video. So this happens when I was a chaplain at Bishop Kelly High School. And, you know, it's probably around later in May that I was invited to go to one of the students' house for, you know, graduation and celebration, right?
Sure.
And they have a huge hammock in the back. And it's just so stretched out that, you know, it's flat, completely flat. And so I was trying to get on it, but I had a hard time to get on it. And so some of the students, you know, Bishop Kelly students, so they told me, Father, if you want to get on it, you have to jump on it. I said, really? I said, yeah, you have to jump on it so that the gravity will suck you down. And then you just kind of like stay on it, right? And so what I did, you know what? I take a big leap and then I ran.
Oh,
and I
my jumped goodness.
On it. I landed on the hammock, but because of the gravity, it flipped over. So I was on the ground, you know, instead of on the hammock. And so I just got like, oh my God, it was painful. It was so painful, right? I was just laying there and I thought to myself, wow, this is such a painful experience. But isn't that our spiritual life? Isn't that our spiritual life? That the time that we should want it to, after we are being knocked out from our sinfulness because of a particular sins, that we struggle and then we should kind of like, we feel stuck. We feel so, you know, like I feel so broken. And all I wanted to do is just to lay down there. I don't want to stand back up.
Yeah.
I don't want to get back up.
Yeah.
Because it's just so hard. It's so painful.
Yeah.
But as a Christian, as a Catholic, we are given the tools that we need to be able to stand back up, the sacrament, the saints, to bring us back, to give us the graces that we need so that we can walk to Jesus. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, thank you. You know, like if I were to stay down on the ground, I would be missing out on so many different things. But you're just so good to us that you're giving us, you know, like graces upon graces.
Yeah.
But to come back into the fold. And that is just so beautiful. And so that is the essence, I would say, of Catholicism.
To walk to Jesus. I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Walking to Jesus. To be one with him.
Yeah. To be one with him. And then that's exactly what it is. You know, like what is our ultimate goal? It's to be in union with the Trinity.
Right.
And so how beautiful is that, that we have all the tools, have all the graces that we need to finish the race and to finish it strong. And so Mother Mary is the one who's going to help us to do that.
Can you help our young adults understand how she plays that role in helping us?
Yeah, so absolutely. So, you know, I think we need to make the distinction, right? We don't worship her.
Right.
We don't worship her. We even, you know, sometimes I don't even use the language that I praise to her. You know, rather we ask her to intercede for us. And so I think we need to make that very distinction, right? We don't worship Mary. We only worship God. But we ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, we ask the saints to pray for us. In the same way that I would ask someone to pray for me. I ask you, Vivian, because I'm, you know, because I'm just so inspired by the way that you live your faith, that I want you to pray for me, you know? And so because I see something, I see a value that you, your prayers, you know, that you would pray for me, you know, intercede for me. And so same thing with the Blessed Virgin Mary. We ask her to intercede for us. We ask her to pray for us. Why? Is she so important? Well, because she is the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus. And she's also not to the human, but also of the divine. And therefore, she is the mother of God, right? And so everything about the Blessed Virgin Mary is about her son. That's the beautiful thing. Every single thing about the Blessed Virgin Mary is about her son. Think about it. Right? Mary, Mother of God, that we celebrate on January 1st, because her son is both God and man. Mary is always pointing us to Jesus. Another example, why does she needs to be, why do we believe that, you know, like she conceived without original sin? Because of her son. Her sons are so perfect.
Yeah.
And therefore we need to have a perfect vase. We need to have a perfect womb to have Jesus to welcome, to be the indwelling of the second person of the Trinity. You know, because Jesus Christ is perfect without sin. And therefore, there needs to be something perfect to welcome him into the world.
Yeah.
Right? So every single thing about the Blessed Virgin Mary, it's about Jesus. She always there to point us to Jesus. Point us to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so, and I think that's the reason why I think she's just so crucial, right? She's so crucial. Every single moment in Jesus' life, she was there. And so is for us. At every single moment in our own lives, we also have the Blessed Virgin Mary there to intercede for us, in particular, in a moment of our death, that we have someone to intercede for us. How beautiful.
And thank you so much for making that sound very simple and coherent, because I feel like nowadays, as Catholic Christians, we try to complicate Mary and try to say that Mary is this, Mary is that, or like people who try to criticize Catholics and trying to debunk her, we forget to look at the big picture and remember that she's the one who can lead us to Jesus in the most holy way.
She has always been there in God's providential plan. And this is why Michelangelo, it's just so, so good. You know, like, that's why he's famous, right? Michael, and if you were to go to Rome, again, Rome, and in particular, you know, goes to the Sistine Chapel, where they have the creation of Adam. You remember, you know, Michelangelo, Adam and God, you know, just kind of about to reach one another.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. So if you look, right, and then it's kind of like God the Father wrapped his hand around someone, a woman. Wow, who would that be? Take a wild guess. Who would that be, you know? And then there's a son right next to you, right next in between. You know, and then many, many scholars have commented on that, that the genius of Michelangelo, that despite all of that, and including the Blessed Virgin Mary, that even at the moment of creation of Adam, we know that we have the Blessed Virgin Mary in the picture, who will be the one who bring the second person of the Trinity into the world. The world made flesh, and he dwells among us. And so Mary has a special role, a very unique role, you know, in the salvation history. But there's nothing about her, right? That is why she's just so humble. Nothing about her. All for the glory of God. May be done according to your will.
Yes.
And that's what she was doing. She brought the Son into the world. She becomes the place, the tabernacle for Jesus. And then she was the one who should bring Jesus into the world and let the will of God be done.
Yeah. It was her yes that brought the miracle to us. Yeah. What would you say to those, what would you encourage those who say and think that Mother Mary is a distraction and therefore often casts her to the side?
You know, I would follow up with another question. Why do you think the Blessed Virgin Mary is a distraction? You know, let's say that, you know, anyone else, anything that not directly is to Jesus is a distraction. Well, we have a lot of distraction. Then we shouldn't be asking other people to pray for us. You know, we shouldn't be like asking other people to pray for us, but we are communal. We are human beings. We are communal beings.
Yeah.
We can't just live by ourselves.
Right.
We need others, right? We need others. We are communal. And so it's not a distraction, but rather think about it this way, that there's someone else who is praying for us constantly. Even when we're not asking, Mother Mary is interceding for us. How beautiful is that? If someone is always caring for us, what do we have to lose? You know, what do we have to lose? But maybe because, you know, we call it a distraction because we don't know her, right? And that, you know, like, oh, like, why can't I just go directly to Jesus? You can. There's nothing that stops you from going to Jesus directly. But we also have the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints here for us to intercede for us. And so that we can trust that they're going to intercede. How beautiful is that? You know, how beautiful to see that. And so I would say, you know, it's not a distraction. It actually is such a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful dynamic. The Blessed Virgin Mary you know, not only I have a relationship with Jesus, but I respect you so much that I also want to respect your mom, mm-hmm. you know, your mother. But also it shows that, you know, like I also have a relationship with your mother. And this is a reason why she intercedes on my behalf. Mm-hmm. So I think that's it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just to have that dynamic.
Right. And to add on to that as well, I think that for me, looking upon Mother Mary, I can learn so much from her.
Sure.
I can learn just by how she responds to each event that she experiences with her son. I can learn so much. Even just her standing at the foot of the cross and watching him just painfully die on that cross, you can learn so much just from her faith and how much love she has for God, the courage she had to be the last person to stand at the foot of the cross. That's inspiring. Earlier, you mentioned the Hail Mary, which I think in my generation right now, like that prayer is losing its value because we don't understand what the Hail Mary is. Do you mind, or could you just help us understand more what we are saying and what we are asking for when we pray the Hail Mary?
Yeah, so it is the Hail Mary is very biblical.
Yes.
It is very biblical. It actually if you at the beginning, right? Hail Mary, full of grace. That the greetings from the archangel to the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Like that is full, that is the incarnation, right? That the Annunciations to the world that this is about, you know, like this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then we looking up, you know, like you are the one who have been chosen, have been worthy to be the mother of our Lord. And that is very biblical, right? So that is the entire, you know, like prayer is biblical because it's, you know, it's the Annunciation, but also us being a part of it. Us being a part of it, that the Blessed Virgin Mary is not just about, oh yeah, it's about my son, it's about my son. It actually is here for us. Oh my gosh. Mother Mary is for us. That we have a common mother who will intercede for us in moment that we need her son the most. Mm-hmm. In moment when we about to pass on.
Yeah.
That the Blessed Virgin Mary is standing there to pray, to intercede for us. And how beautiful that even we, maybe we just say it just randomly a machine, mm-hmm. right? We just go it so fast that we don't spend the time just to meditate on, wow, what a special this lady is. Mm-hmm. The Blessed Virgin Mary, full of grace.
Yeah.
The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. Like, there's nobody like her. Mm-hmm. And that she was chosen to be the mother of God.
Yeah.
And how awesome is that she can become our mother to intercede for us.
Yeah, and I love that. I'm connecting it to identity as well. It always reminds me the greeting that you just mentioned, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Whenever I say that for me, it reminds me of those were the words that God spoke to Mother Mary as an ordinary teen girl. What do you think God's words to us are? How much love do you think he had for us?
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that's
absolutely
where we should be placing our identity, is like God's love, God's everlasting love and mercy that he also had for Mother Mary.
Absolutely. You know, like I think God loves us unconditionally. And this is the reason why we have quote unquote extra stuff, right? We have the extras, you know, like so we have all of it. We have the sacraments, we have the saints, we have the teachings of Jesus, we have everything.
Right.
Why? Because that's how much we are loved, how much we are loved, how much he desires to be with us.
Yeah.
And it's not, us who want to be with him, right?
Right.
God who wants to be with us. How, oh my gosh, to think about it. Someone who is just got like erased the world within, like just with a word, everything will be erased. But this being we call God wants to have a relationship with us, loves us, sustains us.
Mm-hmm.
It's unthinkable, right? It's unfathomable.
Yes.
To think that, wow, this being wants to have a relationship with me. And he makes everything available for me to have a relationship with him.
Yes.
How beautiful. I mean, that's nothing if we're not moved, right? So, and this is where I would say that we have a relationship with God. We change. We live a holy life, not because we're afraid of hell. I think that's an imperfect intention.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, it's good just to have fears. But the real, and I would say that, you know, deeper, you know, intention, more perfect intention would be because I know that God loves me so much.
Right.
God loves me so much that I want to respond his love by living a holy life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way
that
we can respond
to
a generous love to us. Mary is a perfect example of how she lives her life at a respond to that generous love, because she understood the immense love, profound love that God has for her. And therefore she surrendered everything.
Exactly.
She gave back everything for the Lord.
And I love that illustration of Mother Mary surrendering herself to God, because I think we're also called to respond to God's love. We're also called to surrender ourselves, our hearts, everything of us to him. But I think it's hard for us to fully give him access to everything of us because we don't know him well enough. And I know there's a lot of difficulties that the Catholic Church is facing right now. And because of those hardships, that could be one of the reasons why it's hard for us to fully be in union in a relationship with God. What can we do as young adults to heal this division and to not lose our relationship with God, even when there's so much happening within the Catholic Church?
Yeah, I would say that, first of all, you know, like, we need to pray for the unity of the church, right? We need to pray for the unities. We are not this group or that group. We are not. We are Catholic, you know, I think, period. We're Catholic in that we need to be, you know, like we have to pray for one another. We have to pray for unity. Now, I would say this too. You know, I think a lot of it is we need to source out what, you know, social media is doing. Sometimes they can just distort the truth, right? And that should make it less appealing,
mm-hmm.
or should poke one group, you know, to another. It's a back and forth, you know, for social media views or whatever that might be, right?
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, I think we have to source that out. We have to source that out. We need to really focus on, it's the Catholic Church. Jesus founded this church and has given to the world. This church, Catholicism, has the fullness of the truth. And this is the reason why I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic priest. I have studied different, you know, like I've looked to different religion, look at different churches as well. What I have found is that Catholicism, the Catholic Church, possesses the fullness of the truth, closest to what Jesus Christ would have been here, closest as nothing else. And so we have two sources out, you know, like we have to move past that, you know, maybe they're just references, but, you know, to really stay at the core of Catholicism, we cling to the founder, Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church.
Right.
And so if we said, Lord, I want to remain faithful I want to remain faithful to you, to the church. You know, and so, yes, there are all different talks from both sides, conservative versus liberals and all of that. Don't let that to be the case, but rather just to say that, Lord, you're here for us. You're here with us.
It's beautiful. And thank you. Thank you for reminding us of that very fact, that at the end of the day, it's just about us as Jesus's bride and our goal of being one with him.
It's Jesus and his church, right? So Jesus Christ given, you know, Jesus Christ the head, and the church is his bride, you know? And so whenever we remain faithful to the church, we remain faithful to Jesus himself.
Yeah. Well, last question here as a fun way to end. What is the greatest advice you've ever been given? And it doesn't have to do anything with our talk from today.
So I would say this. Don't react quickly. Don't react quickly. You don't want to be reacting to things. You want to respond to things.
Mm.
When you react to things, it's all about your emotion.
Oh, I love
But when
that.
You respond, you're going to use facts.
That's really
good. So don't
good.
React, you respond.
Mm. A good one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we end, I usually give my audience a few challenges to think of from our talk today. I just want to share a Bible passage from John chapter 17, verses 13 to 18. And these are the words that Jesus prayed to his Father for his disciples. And he says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. And so for this month's challenge, we're reminded that we are in this world, but we belong to God. And our goal is to be one with Christ. That is our identity, and that is our confidence. Turn to prayer. And turn to Mother Mary for direction, because no one can help us be one with him more than she can. She carried him in her womb, so she knows him best. And we were not made for depression, nor despair, nor desolation. God is so much greater than our worst mistakes and our worst insecurities. So don't shy away from being one with him. Father, is there anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I think for us, for those who may want to grow in relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary, but don't know how to or even have problems with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the best way is to ask us to intercede for us.
Mm.
Get to know her.
Yeah.
Get to know her. And then ask us to intercede for us.
Yeah.
Because she will lead us to her son, you know. She will never leave us.
Well, Father Yi, thank you so much for being here on Through Thick and Thin amidst your busy schedule. You are so loved by so many of us here. And so thank you for your wisdom, for your relatability, for your charism, and just for being you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And God bless you on your ministry, but also on your journey as well. Okay, know that the Lord is walking with us, and he has given us so much for us to be a faithful disciples and witnesses of the gospel.
Thank you. Yeah. And thank you to everyone who has tuned into this podcast. Once again, you can find us on the free Hail Mary Media app or on any other podcast platforms. And while you're on the app, check out other Vietnamese prayers and sermons and follow us on our social media pages linked in the description area below. You can also follow Father Yi on Instagram, which is @FatherYi_918. Remember to love God more than you fear your cross, and we will see you on Friday, June 7th for another episode. As always, until next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Through Thick and Thin, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon. Learn more about this podcast, our other shows, and other Vietnamese content by visiting the free Hail Mary Media app.